This is Shay M. Lawson Esquire, and you are listening to A Minute of Your Time, a podcast helping entrepreneurs legally protect their passion and profits. Right now, we are in the middle of the coronavirus crisis and we are quarantined, and a lot of entrepreneurs are moving their businesses from in-person live events to digital courses, to virtual conferences, to virtual town halls. And so something that I haven't seen a lot of is, how do you protect your digital launch? How do you protect your digital course, your virtual town hall? If you are making downloadables, if you are making webinars, if you are doing master classes, you are putting your time, your energy, your passion into creating value. If these things didn't have value, then customers would not purchase them from you. But what are you doing to protect them? What are you doing to stop someone from stealing your course and using it as their own? What are you doing for people who might take advantage of your course and then ask for a refund afterwards, and it's not a physical product? They've now sat through an hour of your course and now they want a refund. And so I am talking about the ways that you can protect your business before your next digital launch. And they're just really simple things that you can implement now. Don't take a lot of time. They don't take a lot of money, but they will save you a lot of heartache and headache, especially if you are new to the digital space or if you've encountered this before because you just didn't have these legal things covered for your business. There's no point in pouring your passion and time into something that you're not protecting, and I want to help you. So let's dive in. So we're going to hop right in. I think a lot of times we as entrepreneurs get caught up in the sexy stuff, like the marketing and the sales funnel and the emails and the flyers and the ads, and forget about the foundational things. And so you've spent all this time and this money and this energy and making your course look really great and putting it on a platform, putting together an ad, but you haven't done the things to protect it, to stop someone from stealing your work, to stop someone from taking your course and then sharing their login with their friends so that they can save a few dollars. You want to make sure that you have some really simple things in place to protect your business. And so the first thing that I'll absolutely start out with is a terms of use. So you want to have a terms of use that protects how people are able to use and copy and distribute your material. So if you have a downloadable, if you have a guide, if you give PowerPoints, if you have a workbook, can people redistribute them? Can people email them to their friends? What is stopping somebody from taking your entire workbook and just putting their marketing on it? So there's no use in really having that copyright notice that says copyright 2020, My Big Business LLC, when you aren't putting in a terms of use that covers how people can and cannot use your materials. So you definitely want to put that terms of use that puts visitors and registrants and people who are members of your course or your town hall, your mastermind, you want to put them on notice on how they can and cannot use your content, your pictures, your items. Think about things, and it doesn't always have to be vindictive. It can be somebody who's really excited about what they learned in your course, and then all of a sudden they made a blog post where they wrote a summary of everything that you covered in a webinar. And so now, instead of somebody paying your $47 or your $99 to get into your webinar, they can just read a recap from somebody. So you want to make sure that the people who utilize your digital products or your digital services are on notice on what they can and cannot do, and that you will enforce your rights against them if they are found to be in violation. The second thing that you want to have in place is a privacy policy. These two things, the terms of use and the privacy policy, are things that people overlook. You click past these probably every day when you are entering sites, but there is a reason that every single site that you go on makes you accept the terms of use and privacy policy. That is because you are required by law that when you are collecting personal identifiable information about people, such as their IP address, such as their email address, such as their payment information, that you tell them what you are and are not doing with their information. And if someone reports you, you want to have in place the proper protocols to say, I put you on notice that I was sharing your information with this third party or that third party. For example, if you are using Facebook Analytics or Pixels or Google Analytics or any other kind of tracker to show where people are going on their site, where they're visiting from, what pages they're on. You're likely using these things to target your ads. You are responsible for letting people know that you are tracking their activity. If you are collecting emails to build a subscriber list or taking payments because you are selling a course or an online product, you are required to let people know if you are sharing that information with someone. And so, how this comes into play is especially with all of these town halls and these online virtual conferences where there are a lot of speakers and there are a lot of experts. If you are sharing your attendee list with all the other experts or all the other guests that are on your town hall or your conference, and then they use those email addresses and add them to their subscriber list, you can now be in trouble for sharing someone's private information, sharing their email address without permission. And also, that person, if you are now the guest and you're using a list that you thought was okay to use because all these people signed up for this webinar, this online conference, and now you get reported as spam. Your MailChimps, your Facebook ads, your Constant Contact, they will blacklist you. You must have a privacy policy that shows that you gave notice that when this person bought a ticket or they signed up for your email list, that you were going to share with these third parties, or that you were tracking where they were going, because if you get reported, you want to be able to have your ducks in a row that will support you being able to stay on these platforms and not be blacklisted. And I will tell you that Facebook is being hyper diligent, overly diligent about stopping spam ads. And so if you are flagged as spam and you don't have these things in order, it's really going to hurt your business when one of the top ways that you spread the word is likely in this climate going to be via a Facebook or an Instagram ad. So the first thing you want to do is have a terms of use that tells people how they can and cannot use your materials. The second thing that you want is a privacy policy that lets people know how you are and are not using your personal identifiable information in case you are ever reported as spam, and to stop yourself from being blacklisted by like a MailChimp or Constant Contact or something like that. The last thing that you, or not the last thing, but the third thing that you want is to have a clear refund and return policy. So, in an era of people consuming things and having these expectations, you have the how to build your list, and somebody only gets 10 subscribers to their list, and now all of a sudden they're demanding a refund from you, or they have a downloadable guide and they thought they were going to get something, or they just weren't pleased with the panelists that you had on your virtual conference, and now they want a refund and they report you to PayPal. They report you to Square or Etsy or whoever for your product that they received and now they're not pleased with. You want to have an absolutely clear refund or return policy so that if a dispute is filed against you due to your digital product, your digital service, this thing that you sold via e-commerce, that it was very clear that my return refund policy was easy to find on my website. It was available before they clicked for purchase, and it was also available in their receipt or their purchase confirmation so that this customer cannot say that they were blindsided by the refund or return policy. So again, these are things that are going to absolutely cover your business when you are moving in a digital space, right? You want to be able to clearly have these things in order should the unthinkable happen, should someone want a refund or a return. They knew ahead of time that this was the case. And of course, you want to take things on a case-by-case basis. And if somebody genuinely did not get what they bargained for, or if you were unable to deliver as promised, you do want to offer those refunds, even if you have a no refund policy, because that's just good business. But there are a lot of people out here who are taking advantage of the digital space, who will sit through your webinar and get all of your information and then demand a refund, or get your downloadable and copy it and then say that they're not pleased. And so you just want to absolutely have those policies in place. So on the same note, the next thing that you should have is a disclaimer. And so this is for any kind of advice or testimonials or things for your product. So as an attorney, I always say that in this podcast and in my blog posts or my social media posts, that this is just information only. It's not going to fit every single business situation. This is not a substitute for you getting individualized legal advice for your specific scenario. And you really want to say the same things about your business that my client had a six-figure launch. This is a testimonial and it really happened. However, I cannot guarantee that this will happen in every scenario. Or these are the things that I have found that worked in my business to build my subscriber list, and I want to share them with you to help you build your list. But I cannot guarantee or promise that this will work for every kind of business or even for your specific business. And so when you have those kind of disclaimers in your testimonials or on your sales page and things like that, now again, you are setting yourself up for if someone does have an experience with your product or with your webinar or your masterclass or your conference where they didn't get the results that you or they anticipated, you've already put this out there that this may or may not work for you. You may want to decide if this is for you. Something that's really great that I see at a lot of the top spaces for like your Marie Forleo's and your Amy Porterfield's are on their sales pages. They say, this is for you if A, if B, if C. But they also say, this may not be for you if this or that or this. And that may also be something that you might want to consider when you are moving your product online to help protect you. You want to have those disclaimers in place that you cannot absolutely guarantee anything, and you don't want people to be blindsided by this, because there are a lot of people out there who think just because I told you this one thing that it was gonna work out absolutely perfect, and it might not. So a top thing is have a disclaimer. Again, these are things that we are seeing every single day that you may gloss over, where you're seeing these privacy policies, you're seeing these terms of use, you're seeing these disclaimers, but you see them so often you don't realize the need for them or why you need them in your digital businesses. But these top companies have them for a reason, and you do too. So you need to get these in place if you're moving your business into a digital space. And so last but definitely not least is having your content registered with the Copyright Office and trademarking your brand identifiers. People only steal things of value. If you hadn't have poured your passion and your time and your energy and your money into building something phenomenal, then you wouldn't have something of value to offer your audience. So if you are in a position to sell something to an audience, then that means you're also in a position to be stolen from thieves who see the value. Understand that you have no standing in court. Should someone steal your materials, launch their own course that is an exact copycat of your course, you cannot enforce your legal rights against them unless you have filed your copyright and have a copyright registration, or you have a viable trademark registration. There are certain things that you can do, like file a takedown notice, but even that is way more difficult if you do not have your copyright registration or your trademark registration to prove that you are the rightful owner of unauthorized content that has been stolen from you, to even get it taken down from a site or to get a cease and desist letter drafted by an attorney. You want to make sure that you have your ducks in a row, and all of those ducks aren't going to be super sexy and come in these pretty packages. A lot of it is going to be these small details like your terms of use, your privacy policy, your copyright registration. But take the time to do these things, or take the time to put in your budget for a professional to do these things for you, such as an intellectual property attorney or another professional service. I definitely would tell you, do your research before you spend your money on having someone do these things to make sure that they are capable of adequately putting the protections in place, but you absolutely don't want to skip these steps. So, just to review, the things that you want to have in place to protect your business online, whether it is a digital course, a mastermind, a virtual town hall, you want to ensure that you have a terms of use in place. Ensure that you have a privacy policy in place. Ensure that you have a clear refund and return policy. Ensure that you have clear disclaimers on testimonials and statements of results. And then last but not least, you want to make sure that your copyrights are registered and that you have registered any relevant trademarks. As always, you can find the show notes over at shaymlawson.com. Click on podcast and you will be able to access the notes for this. You can also go to shaymlawson.com, click blog, and it will be episode number 12. So shaymlawson.com/blog/episode 12, and you'll be able to get directly to the show notes where all of this will be outlined. And this wouldn't be right to end without a disclaimer. Please understand that this is not individualized legal advice. This will not be perfect for every single online business, and you definitely want to do your own research. Reach out to an attorney who is licensed in your state and talk to them about what best fits your individual business needs, as this is information only. But I hope it gets your wheels turning and helps you consider the things that you need to put in place for your business. This has been another minute of your time, and I am Shay M. Lawson. Make sure you are subscribed on Apple. Please rate and review, follow on Spotify, and share with a friend.